Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, again, there's no comments today, but I do know that all those people out there liking me on the other platforms are great. And also, I just wanted to say off the top of my head that you can now, and I think you've always could have, but you can now listen to JBL on iTunes. So if you if you'd rather listen to everything on iTunes rather than on thetrumpet.com or KPCG FM or SoundCloud, you can also listen on iTunes. Now, over the last several programs, I have been talking about Charles Krauthammer's view of the human propensity to place high value on going through vigorous ordeals to prove innocence or guilt or personal self-worth. Now, Mr. Krauthammer's inviting writing makes this, I think, really interesting discussion. Now, for today's podcast, what I want to do is I want to finish my discussion of Charles Krauthammer's essay titled The Appeal of the Ordeal. But I'm really tired of doing this solo, so I have asked someone to help me do this today. So I have back with me in the studio my partner in crime, my partner in literature, Deborah Leap. So welcome back, Deborah.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
Yes. So I think for everybody out there listening, we finished the first two pages, and we actually got through most of page 51, but I still want to get to the very bottom of the page, because he brings up another aspect of the ordeal that I think is really interesting, how he switches gears here. And he, to me, he makes it really interesting. And the last time we were talking about the ordeal of culture and how really, in some ways, he was pointing out how crazy culture can be, you know, that the ordeal of watching the Napoleon film, which lasted 4.5 hours, but then it came back even after the time he was talking about, and it was 5.5 hours. He was talking about Fassbender's Berlin Alexander plots. And, you know, Deborah and I have been in Berlin, and I think we actually were on that plot, if I can remember. But anyway, you know, all these long you know, things in culture that you have to experience, and I guess it's just it's an ordeal that just makes you a better person. But of course, you know, he's really being tongue in cheek with some of this. Now, at the bottom of this page, remember, I think last time I was talking about how he seems like he always picks on marathoners, and so he actually comes back and picks on marathoners again. So, but like I said before, We love his writing. We think he was a genius, so he can get away with it in my book. But anyway, now he moves at the bottom of that page. He moves to a little different aspect that I think is, again, it's just a genius move on his part. And at the very bottom of the page, he says, "But surely there are less trying ways to acquire culture, health, or psychological succor." And so, you know, how you can, you know, make yourself feel good about yourself. He says, "There are. But the ordeal offers a bonus, two very chic commodities." And so now he's saying, hey, there is an easier way, and these are chic. These are chic commodities. And I think it's absolutely hilarious what he begins to talk about. He said the first one is survivorship. And so now he's shifting his gears from the ordeal of culture to maybe he's talking about subculture or the ordeal of survivorship. And he said, he goes on to say, it is the highest achievement of the modern self-celebrity ethic, best exemplified by the T-shirt he's really getting into. I survived the blizzard of 77. So the thing he's talking about really here is that survivorship is, I guess it's more a part of the natural world, or maybe environmental disasters. And, of course, the 77 blizzard he's talking about from Buffalo, New York. And, of course, my wife and I lived in Buffalo, New York, and we moved there in 84. And the first thing we experienced was a 5-foot snow. And so I don't know if we'd have called it a blizzard, the blizzard of 84, but we were stuck in the house for like 4 or 5 days with little kids. And I remember that that we had a back porch and the snow was up to the middle of the screen door on the back porch.
I think it was called a blizzard, but it wasn't as big a blizzard as the one of 77, I guess.
Yeah, at least they weren't selling T-shirts yet.
Right.
So he would say, what he goes on to say here, and this is at the top of page 52, he says, now survivorship, however, is capriciously doled out. And he goes on to say, not everyone can live in Buffalo. And I'd have to say that we loved our Buffalo experience. I mean, that really is a beautiful part of the country, and fresh fruits and vegetables, and you know, beautiful summers, beautiful falls, sometimes treacherous winters. But then he goes on to say, or you can have a Malibu beach house obliterated by a mudslide. And he said, so it's really hard to go through the ordeal of survivorship. And he goes on to say, even for the average Joe, there is no cachet in surviving the 522 to White Plains. So I'm sure he's talking about the train system.
Yes, the train system.
Or the subway.
So the average Joe, you know, has to go through a lot of different mundane, everyday things that are ordeals, but they're not as exciting.
Not as exciting as the blizzard of 77.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, again, he says the ordeal is capricious. Now, not everyone can have a Malibu house, as he says. But, you know, when you think about what's really happening in the world today, and, you know, I think I mentioned before that I hope everybody out there is also listening to Mr. Stephen Fleury's Trumpet Daily programs, because they really are, they'll give you sanity. They'll give you sanity. But I do think that maybe... what's going on with the coronavirus is not, you know, so capricious. It's like, I think everyone or every person in today's world could wear a T-shirt that says, I survived the mass hysteria of the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. Again, we're all concerned. I mean, it is a virus. It is taking the lives of our older citizens. But even as we learned from a new expert today, you know, even at Imperial College, is that most of the older people that are dying would likely have died this year anyway. And so again, we don't want to see anyone die, but there is an end of life. Now, maybe in another, maybe tongue-in-cheek way, I could say if people got some entrepreneur got the idea to make those T-shirts, maybe that could help stave off the economic crisis that's sure to come, a result of the huge stimulus packages that are coming out. And I know a lot of people are excited to be, you know, beginning some money, but eventually you're going to pay taxes on it, and you're eventually going to have to pay it back. I mean, the government is still going to need us to bail them out of all this stimulus money. The thing he goes on to say, and again, this is really good Krauthammer. If you can't experience like an environmental ordeal, he says, well, how do you get that badge of honor? This is still at the top of the page. He says, how then to earn the badge of honor in that survivorship? And he says, well, it's a logical answer to him. You create an ordeal. And so I kind of laugh at him. And in other ways, I think, maybe he's being too picky. But anyway, he says, here's a good ordeal that was created. It says, run the Western States 100. And that's the name of the race. And he puts in parentheses, 100 miles, that is. It says, over the Sierra Nevada. And, of course, that's the mountains. And, again, he puts in parentheses, they say that horses have died racing the trail. And, of course, you know, he said, run that Sierra Nevada race and live to talk about it. Or, he said, you could attend the first modern showing of Napoleon held in the Colorado Rockies outdoors from 10:30 p.m. to 3 3:30 a.m. Now, that refers back to the previous page, watching Napoleon for 4.5 hours outdoors in the Colorado Rockies. Well, depending on what season of the year, it might be really, it really might be an ordeal. We've been in the Rockies when there's been avalanches. We've been in the Rockies when there was a lot of snow, and those could be dangerous. So I'm assuming he's talking about doing it in the summer months, which are very, very beautiful. I've actually climbed the mountains there in the Rockies, and I've actually been on the Continental Divide, actually sat on the Continental Divide. And, we were up 10,000 miles. And I remember we were up there, and all of a sudden it started to lightning and thunder. And the guide I was with says, all right, he said, we need to get out of here and get out of here right now. So the pain of that ordeal is my shins from trying to run down the mountain and to get out of there before the lightning struck us. He really is just a master at taking something in this world and then highlighting enough to maybe make us to see or help us to see how some things can be pretty ridiculous. The second ordeal that he talks about, and I do think, again, we can be certainly tongue-in-cheek with this as well, but then I also think there's a serious side, and just bear with me here as I explain this. So this is in the middle of page 52. He said, the other modern good greatly in demand is the learning experience, or ordeal is a great teacher, or the ordeal of lesson learned. We just have to kind of read on here to see where he's going with this. He says, a group of adventurous souls staged an unbelievable race on New York's Randall Island last year. And so remember now, this is 1983. I didn't have any knowledge of this. He says it was a 6-day run, the winner being the person who could traverse the most ground and survive. And so I think he is pointing to something necessarily ridiculous here. It says the race was run on an oval track, subjecting the runners not only to blisters, dehydration, and shin splints, but to the overwhelming ennui of unchanging scenery. So, again, he's just really being funny. But, I don't know if I mentioned this on last week's program or not, but, here I've been training for a marathon, for how many months now, and really been putting myself through, some pretty intense training. And, of course, that the marathon was postponed, and it was postponed till the fall. And they postponed it to a weekend that I won't be able to run it, so I'm trying to finagle them to move my money to the Tulsa Marathon, which is a week before Thanksgiving. I think I did mention that. And I think I did mention that if I run that before Thanksgiving, then I can eat all the pie I want and not have to worry about it. But the thing is I guess this race in Randall's Island, it drew a lot of attention. The reporters were there, and they swarmed around runners, and they asked them, well, why did you do this? I mean, can you imagine 6 days of running? And just running on a track, I've run the half marathon in both Tulsa and in Oklahoma City, and they always make sure that they put them in some of the most pleasant neighborhoods so that you have a good environmental experience at the same time. And we've run along the rivers, and I've run the Redbud Classic here in Nichols Hills. It's probably one of the most beautiful neighborhoods. It's full of mansions. It's full of well-manicured gardens. And there's a lot of redbud trees, and the redbud blossoms are coming out now. And in fact, that race was, I was supposed to run that this coming Sunday, and that's been canceled as well. He goes on to say that the reporters say, why did you do this? And a lot of the runners said, well, I did this because I learned a lot about myself. He said, but they never said exactly what it was they learned. But they seemed satisfied that it was important. And why was it important to them? Because it's there has become because I am here. And it's not because it was really that important, but it was important because they were there. And so I think it does show how self-centered as a society we've all become. I think if there's any positive thing out of this coronavirus experience is that people are trying to get people to think about others. and you know, to help others too. You know, there are some older people that they're in danger. I just I have a friend that's a chiropractor, and he helps me with you know, with the running and how to make sure I take care of myself. And one of his patients is seriously ill with coronavirus, and so it is sad. But I do think that there really is an ordeal of lessons learned. And really, I'm going to talk a little bit spiritually here now, is there really is, let's say, if you are really truly embracing Christianity the way the Bible discusses it. And I mean, there are a lot of people that claim to have Christian values, and in some ways it's their own decisions. It's what they think it is. But I'm going to read to you a scripture from the Bible, 1 Peter. I'm going to read it to you from the English version, so it makes it a little more clear than the King James. But it's 1 Peter 4:12, and it's verses 12 and 13. It says, "My dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful test you are suffering, as though something unusual were happening to you. Rather, be glad that you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may be full of joy when his glory is revealed." Now, of course, you know, here at the Philadelphia Church and here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, we believe that we should be celebrating the Christian Passover. And even as Peter talks here, we do keep the Christian Passover at night. And what we do is we focus on what Christ suffered in his body for our salvation. And we know that it's very clear in the Bible, although a lot of people don't understand it, that Christ was brutally beaten so that we could be healed physically. I mean, the Bible is very clear on that subject. And here with this coronavirus, everybody is looking to these doctors. And, you know, even President Trump, you know, called for a national day of prayer, you know, about the coronavirus, and the media didn't even pick up on it. Some people who actually claim to be Christians said, "We don't need God, we need science. Christ did suffer for us so that we could be healed, and really, you know, God could take care of this pandemic immediately if the world would, well, start to repent of their sins and, you know, go to God and ask forgiveness." And we don't hear any talk of that. It's really kind of a sad state of affairs for this world. But, you know, Christ did suffer for us. And the thing is all of us should be asking, why are we suffering this horrible virus? And, you know, there's reasons for it. But then Peter goes on to say, he said, "Well, rather be glad that you're sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may be full of joy when his glory is revealed." So, you know, we know these are the end times. We know that Christ is going to return very soon. And even as Mr. Stephen Fleury's been saying on the Trumpet Daily, when Christ returns and he takes the throne away from Satan, the devil, who is the god of this world, and obviously he's inspiring, you know, all of this trauma, we're going to live in a world that's free of disease. And so I think there is some real benefit to, well, the ordeal of the lessons learned. And certainly in the Christian life, Peter says we're going to experience fiery trials. And they're fiery. You know, they are like the ordeal. But, you know, God is orchestrating them for us, not to hurt us, but for our good. And so sometimes there is, like I said, there's a great lesson to be learned. And we should be looking at life that way, that we can't always you know, have life go our way the way we think it does or think it should. But, you know, sometimes God has a different idea of what we need to grow, you know, as people, but also to grow spiritually. And so in some ways, it does seem really silly to have like a New York Randall's Island race and, you know, to torture yourself for 6 days and then say, "Well, I learned a lot about myself." You know, but then, you know, when you go through some real spiritual trials and you get on your knees and you pray to God to ask him to help you get through it and ask him to understand why you have to go through it, I mean, there's real growth there. There's you come out a better person on the other side. And so there is, some things that the Krauthammer makes some good points at, and then I think sometimes he's maybe too tongue-in-cheek. I'll just continue now in his book. It says, like the ancients, moderns believe that one can learn about something by subjecting it to the ultimate test. Beat the skull and find the poet. Only today we insist on beating our own skulls and not quite for the pleasure of stopping. You know, I think there are people like that, that do put themselves through some unnecessary trials that they don't have to, maybe make themselves feel better about themselves. He goes on to say, he says, why then? Why do people do this? He said, the prestige of survivorship and the hunger for learning experiences are only partial explanations. And now the thing is, he goes on, he talks a little bit about economics, and I don't necessarily, want to get into that section, basically because I don't understand what he's really saying there. I'll be honest. Skip over now to page 53. And in other words, he's saying, I think what he's saying under the economics thing is that the prestige of survivorship gives you more status. I think that's what he's saying. You know, the more you put yourself through these ordeals, the higher status you can have in society. And, that may be true, but certainly, I guess we all have to examine ourselves for that. Now, he goes up at the top of the page there, page 53, he says, now that everyone can afford status items like designer jeans, conspicuous consumption gives way to conspicuous exertion. And so if everyone's walking around with all these designer jeans, well, then they're still like, they're just like everyone else. And so, sometimes we do vainly, we want to stand out in the crowd. And actually that was, Jesus Christ, he didn't stand out in the crowd. He looked, common. Even the book of Isaiah tells us there was nothing overly handsome about him that you would notice him. You know, he was just a regular guy. And he didn't have the long hair and, effeminate look that so many people think that Christ looked like. I learned that for the first time years and years ago, like 40-some years ago. But he goes, sheer exhilarating length becomes a value in itself. And so what he's saying is, again, now he's picking on the marathons and the triathons as well. But I think he still makes a good point here. He says, sheer exhilarating length becomes a value in itself, and the triathlon comes to represent, to quote, the winner of the Hawaiian Ironman race, which is a 2.4-mile ocean swim, 112-mile bike ride, and 26.2-mile marathon run. It was the ultimate expression of the Southern California lifestyle.
I think that's terrible.
I do too.
Terrible. It's like really like putting it down, really. It's terrible.
Yeah. Would you really want to exonerate the Southern California lifestyle today? What is LA full of? Homeless people that are, they're afraid of, the plague starting again. And, we could feel sad for those people. A lot of them are drug addicts. A lot of them are mentally not there. But it just shows that the government doesn't know how to help with those things. And, the water's being polluted because they're treating the streets like a toilet. I mean, it's just really scary what's really going on there. And so, if the coronavirus hits that area, I mean, that's going to be a real calamity. Honestly, I don't run marathons because I want to praise the Southern California lifestyle. That's not why I'm doing it. And it is. I think I am doing it for health, but I'm also wanting to challenge myself to, face some tough things, because I think we're going to have to face a lot tougher than even the coronavirus thing we're experiencing now. He goes on to say, which is why outside a cluster of easeful lands, the recreational ordeal is not wildly popular. And now, again, I agree with him at this last paragraph, and this is where he's, I think he's a master at, you know, kind of bringing us back to reality. He says, in America, people run for fun. In Beirut, they run for their lives. Now, that could sound funny, but it's really not. He says, people there listen not for the starter's gun, but for the snipers. And, you know, I was even just reading some news reports today about Lebanon. And, you know, they're really hit very hard with the coronavirus. And, of course, the lockdown that they're experiencing is really ruining their economy. And so they may not come out of this very well at all. He said, in some parts of the world, when a man runs 26 miles, it's because he's come from marathon and he's strictly on business.
That's funny, yeah.
No, that's funny. So I think this is a good essay. I think it's one that can really help you think. But again, he's tongue-in-cheek about some things, but I do think there are some ordeals that are good for us. And especially, you know, those of us that are striving to be Bible-based Christians, that sometimes we do need the ordeal of trials and lessons learned. Well, that's all we have the time for today's program. So next time, Deborah and I will discuss a new Charles Krauthammer essay. And remember, we are reading selected portions of his book of essays titled Things That Matter. Now, there is still more to come. But I do want to say we are now moving closer to the end of this series. And for our summer series, which is coming up very soon, I will be moving back to classic literature. Now, I'll discuss the details of this in a future program. So you can buy this book at Amazon. And again, if you're just checking into the podcast for the first time today, you can go back and listen to the other podcasts. I think you'll find this book very valuable for yourself. Now, you can find a used copy of the book at abebooks.com, and of course, you can also check your local library. So please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcog.org. You can also follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. Now, I haven't been working so hard on the Facebook page, we're going to get on that maybe when the semester session is over. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.